Welcome back for another episode of the Balticon 47 wrap-up from Balticon and Swimming Cat Studios. I'm your host, Doc Coleman. With fall finally upon us, it is time to turn our attention to one of the most anticipated fall events in writing circles, National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo. During the month of November each year, writers challenge themselves to write a 50,000-word novel in just 30 days. This is anticipated by some with excitement, and by others with dread. Still others with both excitement and dread. This year at Balticon, I got to participate in a presentation on NaNoWriMo, where P.G. Hollyfield moderated a panel consisting of Starla Hutchton, Pamela Gay, Allison Gamblin, Hugh O'Donnell, and myself, as we talked about our different experiences with NaNoWriMo, how to prepare for it, what you can get out of it, and what you need to do after November to get your novel ready for publication. The panel was recorded on May 26th at 2 p.m. Why do we do NaNoWriMo? Peer pressure? Envy? The challenge? Just to prove that we can? The reasons for doing NaNoWriMo are varied, but it all comes down to a desire to write and tell stories. Whether you prepare by outlining, or if you're a discovery writer, there is a lot that you can learn about your own writing by attempting NaNoWriMo. And a lot of tools are out there that will help you focus on your writing and hit your daily goals. No matter what your writing style, you should be able to find what you need to work on your writing. Just remember, NaNoWriMo isn't about editing. It's about cranking out words at a professional production rate. The editing is for later, after you've finished your first draft. Enjoy! And then, go write!
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to the 2 o'clock panel.
Shut the door.
Can you get the door?
If someone can grab
the door
back there, that would be awesome.
Thank you.
You said please, I just said get the door.
Before we get started, just wanted to ask the initial question, which is there anyone here that does not know what NaNoWriMo is? Awesome. Second thing is to, before we introduce ourselves, the description in the program is a little wrong. I'd sent in a suggestion for a panel, which was a little more tied to a podcast, Google Hangout series that we did for this past NaNoWriMo. And Patrick sent back saying, can we make it more of a general NaNoWriMo panel so we could have a full panel? And I said, sure, yeah. But they didn't change the program. So the program had specific language about what we did, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But this panel itself is just a general panel around NaNoWriMo. And want to go ahead and get started by having everybody introduce themselves.
Hi there. I am Doc Coleman. I am a... It's actually picking up. We're getting a good signal. I am a writer, a voice actor, a podcaster, and I'm kind of the NaNoWriMo newbie. I have done NaNoWriMo twice, once successfully and once failed. So I've seen both sides.
I'm Dr. Pamela Gay. I am generally a nonfiction person, but I have to admit that all of my early writing was Battlestar Galactica fan fiction. I got talked into this year trying to actually finish a novel that was my own universe, and I suffered spectacular, mind-numbing NASA paperwork-induced fail. But I have a great outline I will someday finish, or all of you can beat me up later.
My name is Allison Gamblin, and I have done NaNoWriMo 4 times. I've completed it 3 times. I think my top word score was in the 130,000 word range. Last year was my first fail. And that was because I really didn't want to do it anyway, and I let my husband talk me into trying it again. So, yeah.
I'm Starla Hutchton. I'm a cover designer and a narrator and a writer as well. This was my fourth, I think. NaNoWriMo, I had to take 2 years off for school and kids and stuff. But, yeah, and I have, every time I've done it, I've won. So this year was my highest word count with, what was it, like 66,000 or something like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
I'm Hugh O'Donnell. I'm a writer and podcaster, and I've been doing NaNoWriMo since 2005. I've mostly won. I'm at least over 50%.
And I'm PG Holyfield. I have done NaNoWriMo 4 times. I have never won, but I keep trying. When we say won, I consider them all successes because it actually got me to sit down and write for a month, and pretty much, you know, every day for a month. And that's sort of the whole purpose of this. So, and part of why we did, what we called Living NaNoWriMo last year. But to start off, just, people mentioned their experiences, but, let's talk a little bit more about why, what made you decide to do NaNoWriMo to begin with? Is it just a challenge, or was there any other reasons why you jumped into it?
Let's see. For me, it was kind of a dual-pronged thing. Part of it was peer pressure, because 3 years ago, everyone that I knew was doing NaNoWriMo, and that's when I the first November that I'd been doing the Galley Table podcast. And at that time, everyone on the Galley Table crew was doing NaNoWriMo. And when we would do episodes through November, it was always, okay, what's your writing count? You know, and comparing numbers. And it's like, I'm the guy sitting there saying, I'm doing NaNoWriMo next year. The other part of it was that I tried my hand with short fiction. And I had run into problems that when I wrote the story out the way I wanted the story to be, it was always too long. I always overshot the word targets for the markets I was trying to go into. So I said, okay, maybe short fiction's not for me. Let's actually aim for something novel-sized and see how that goes.
So for me, I have to admit, it was peer pressure is the wrong word. Peer envy might be appropriate. I come to these cons, and I'm probably in the same position a lot of you. I love to write, haven't published any fiction other than like high school literary magazine, college literary magazine. And then I went and became a real person, and suddenly I hid my fiction writing part of my life. But then I was looking at my friends who were all doing NaNoWriMo, and some of them were other scientists, some of them were author friends I know from here, and then Merle Lafferty's I Should Be Writing pin is taunting me from my whiteboard, and I suddenly had I'm writing a textbook, that doesn't count for NaNoWriMo, I started it beforehand, damn it, I'm going to write a novel. And so I jumped in on this as a way of like living up to what all the cool kids were doing, because I wanted to be a cool kid too.
That's pretty much how it worked for me. I came to Balticon, Bran got started, he decided he wanted a new NaNoWriMo, and I thought, well, if he can do it, obviously I can do it better. And so I jumped into it. I'm very competitive, so if that happens, that's usually how I get started in stuff. And I did complete it the first couple of years, but I have all these novels now for each year that I've done it that are past, you know, to the winning point, and then I never got around to finishing them because I'm terrible at endings. Mm. So I've got quite a few. And Nathan Lowell hates it because he's my beta reader, and he's like, you should finish these books, these are great. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what's going to happen. So
Nathan Lowell is your beta reader.
Wow.
I think that says a lot about your reading and why you should finish the damn story.
Yes.
I have a suggestion. This year, start October 1st, and then you'll still have November to finish it.
For me, I'm a military spouse, and we had been in Japan and came back to the States, and a friend of mine from high school, you know, emailed me. He's like, you need to look at this thing. He'd done this for like 3 years in a row. And I was like, you know, whatever. And because he and I used to and a bunch of us, we would write when we were in high school. And so he would ping me with this. And I found when we were living in Seattle that where we were, there wasn't – I didn't really have a community around me. I didn't really know anybody. So I actually got involved in Second Life. And there was a writing community on Second Life. And this – it pulled me in. And, yeah, it was just – from there it just grew, and then I met all these great people and started doing Balticons and stuff, and so I couldn't not do it anymore.
For me, it started because I heard about it through a fan forum that I was a part of at the time, and it actually ended up being an amazing experience because I met a lot of local writers in my area, and that just propelled me to, you know, keep doing it.
And for me, mine was a little bit different because the first year I did NaNoWriMo, I was starting to get into podcasting. I knew eventually I wanted to podcast a novel when I got a novel done. So I was trying to think of something to do as a podcast before that. And I had become friends with Mer Lafferty. I was a moderator on her. I should be writing forums. That's how I got started. But, we decided, or I said, well, can we do a NaNoWriMo related podcast? And this was in 2006. And so we did, with Chris Miller and Chris Johnson, KJ Johnson, we did, the Nano Monkeys podcast, which was a daily podcast, 5-minute podcast where we just gave tips and tricks and support and cheerleading for NaNoWriMo back then. And that's sort of what led into what we did this past year with Living NaNoWriMo, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a few minutes. And if anybody walked in that doesn't know what NaNoWriMo is there anybody that doesn't know? Because we sort of skipped the whole description of NaNoWriMo. Okay. So let's talk about process, prep work that you might do. Are you
panic?
Someone that just starts cold,
I like the chocolate.
Or eat a lot of cupcakes before you get started. What's your process for not during but before November 1st?
I bought Scrivener.
Scrivener.
Scrivener. Choice. I don't know how to pronounce it. I know how to buy it.
Well, I start outlining in July, and then I obsess and panic for 3 months.
Very good.
Yeah, chocolate. But this year was a little different for me because I have 3 kids and 2 of them are old enough now. They're 9 and 11. So I actually, NaNoWriMo has the Young Writers Program. So I actually involved my 2 oldest this year, and we started in October, about 2 weeks before, with their workbook. And I learned a few lessons along the way that they kind of got burnt out just from all the filling in all the questions and these long, long things. They did like drawing the pictures of their characters. That was probably their favorite part. But yeah, by the time it got to the actual writing of the story, they were kind of like, I have to do this again. I was pleased with what happened, but I'm not much of a plotter and planner myself, because I like to discover the story as it happens and see it through the character's eyes. So that's more my process. But because I was teaching them how to do this stuff, I had to kind of tell them, well, this is what I do, and this is what I've been thinking about. And so that helped inform their writing a little bit.
That's kind of what happened with us. For the first 2 years, it was just Brand and I doing NaNoWriMo. And then the third year, we discovered the Young Writers Program. And EP had just turned 7 or 8, I think. And so I'm a very hands-on kind of mom for the creative kind of stuff. So we started working, and she got up to, I think, 1,000 words, which was pretty impressive for her. And so doing that, we kind of worked through outlines. Now, the problem is I'm a seat-of-the-pants kind of writer. So as I'm sitting there trying to teach her, you know, do as mommy says, not as mommy does, you know, and I'm there trying to make an outline of my book and to show her this is how you're supposed to do it, this is a character sheet where you figure out, and I'm showing her all this stuff, not trying to overwhelm her, but keep it very simple. At the same time, you know, that's kind of how I prepped that year, and it worked, it was okay, but it was completely off of my game, and that one, honestly, I don't see that one ever going anywhere because it was just, it felt wrong the entire time I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that year, that's how I did it. The next year, she knew how to do it, so I didn't have to do any of that, and that's the one that I blew past my word score on, because that one I went back to my normal forte, which is just writing. But in a lot of cases, I don't do a whole lot of prep work. The week before, I sit down and I go, I'm going to do it, and so I get out Brand's put this tremendous spreadsheet together. It says how many words you have to do that day, and then it'll update to show you how many words you're behind, how many words you're ahead, and so it'll update what you have to do the next day.
Yeah.
And he's put a blog post up with a link to it. I'm not sure. Maybe you can find the link by the end. And it's a great tool because it lets you know if you fall behind, well, this is what I have to accomplish to be able to complete my 50,000 by the end of the month. And so I always pull that out. I plan out what I'm going to do. And then I try to schedule it on my calendar so I get a reminder every day. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but with the help of that spreadsheet, I can keep on track.
And to give a more serious answer, yes, I did decide I'm not going to use Word to write this year. And PG and I had some conversations about what are good software, and I decided having something that goes thermonuclear on me if I didn't write enough words fast enough would traumatize me into not writing.
So, write or die.
Yeah. So I
don't know what she's talking
but,
about.
But the reality is I know that in order for me to really get into telling a story, I need to be careful of one thing, which is not to write something too personal because then I can't publish it. And two, I need to write something that I will, just like you said, I will end up living the story while I'm telling it. I will suck it in. I remember writing stories before where, like, one of my characters decides to do, I'm sitting there, like, bawling because of what my character's going through. And I knew if I wanted to finish this, not knowing NASA would have added requirements on reporting in November, I needed something I'd be passionate about. So I'm like, okay. What is going on? What is a current technology that hasn't been thought through? And so I started reading through the latest science news to find something that had the potential to go horribly, horribly wrong, because that would make a great sci-fi story. And then the other thing I did is I know that my head, if I'm not careful, will mirror the writing style of who I've most recently been reading. And so I needed to make sure I wasn't reading things that I really didn't want to mirror. So I read some of my favorite authors who have writing styles that I love to fall into, so that those were the voices influencing the rhythm of my language. And so that's probably a very strange way to prep, but that's what went into
makes
my head.
Sense. Totally makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty much raises the bar for my MFA.
Yeah.
My pre-prep process actually kind of begins in the spring, and that sounds impressive on the face of it, but it really isn't, because that's when I decide what kind of story that I'm going to write for November. And unfortunately, I don't really write anything down, but I just start thinking about, okay, what's my setting? Where are my major characters going to come from? What are the themes that I want to express, or their particular scenes that I want to have? And I don't actually outline, but I just kind of loosely start thinking about how I'm going to string the whole story together. And I start that in the spring, and I kind of do it all year long up until November. And if I've done a good job of it, then by the time I hit November, I've got a good concept for what I'm going to do, and I can start off on the first day and hit it running. And if I've done a crappy job of it, then I'm going to start and struggle and change my mind midway and get lost in the discovery writer train.
I think that's a good piece of advice, because I'm a plotter, and I've not started early enough in doing that part of the process, because by the time I get to November 1st, I'm usually got a good, you know, early plot, but not the ending and or how to get there. So I usually get to 25 to 30,000 words, and then I'm either I run out of time, or in the case of this year, which is why one of the reasons I dragged Pamela along the way is I decided to write science fiction for the first time, and I like fantasy because you can make up stuff, and it does have to have its own internal consistency. But with science fiction, you have to, you know, be correct if you can. And so with someone like Pamela, I was able to say, okay, I want to do this. I need something that will destroy Earth. Give me something. So
which
she rattles off 20 yeah. things that could destroy the world. And so,
no. Yeah.
But
sharks with lasers.
Sorry.
But that's a good idea as far as if you are someone who plots before you start writing something, then start early enough to have a good full plot before you hit November 1st. We mentioned a couple tools, Scrivener or software and different things, word count type things. What other pieces of software or tools do you use to help you along the way? And it doesn't even have to be writing related. Most of the time people mention music, but anything like that that you'd like
chocolate.
To talk about.
As mentioned before, Scrivener is a very nice tool, and you can actually set targets in Scrivener, and it will recalculate it periodically so that you can see when you open it up what you need to do that time. The NaNoWriMo .org site itself has word tracking tools on there, and it will plot your progress and show you, you know, if you're going to hit 50,000 right on midnight on November 30th, here's how many words per day you need to write for the remaining days. It doesn't do a good job of letting you say, okay, I know I'm going to be doing this on these 2 days, so I'm not going to write then. So rebalance that load for those days across the rest of the month. It doesn't do that very well.
I feel like we need to have a mobile app that works like a weight loss app. Because, like, my phone will yell at me when for many reasons. Mm-hmm. And if only we had that app that would plot our words and then yell at us when we were above or below by varying amounts and push notifications.
Yeah, I write on an iPad, and I have everything except that, really. Like, I can outline on it. I can do note cards on it. I use Pages and a wireless keyboard to write, and that's actually really good for NaNoWriMo because it is very difficult to go back and edit while I'm working.
I do all of my first drafts for any project. I do it in cloud-based software. I use my Writing Spot. And I have the app on my phone, I have it on my iPad, and I can access it on the web. So when I've got, you know, the 15 minutes that I lock myself in the bathroom every day to get away from the kids, I sit there on my phone and get as many words as I can. And I still do this, NaNoWriMo notwithstanding. So you could do that, you know, 5 minutes waiting for the doctor, you know, in for your appointment, or, you know, getting your oil changed with the car. But I find that's probably the most helpful thing. I keep different documents in there, so I've got like a running character list when I add somebody. I add them to that document, and then I go back and I keep writing some more. And then I copy paste into Scrivener, you know, and do any editing or whatever in there. But yeah, so that's probably my most indispensable tool to be able to write anywhere.
I would say my top three things are Dropbox.
Yes.
Because I can use it anywhere. It's very much like cloud, except that Scrivener will auto back up to it, and I have lost my NaNoWriMo stuff before.
Oh my God.
And with Scrivener, I don't have that problem anymore because it auto backs up to Dropbox, and so if I have Scrivener on whatever I'm using, I can get onto the same project and keep updating it. So definitely Dropbox is my number one. And then Scrivener, of course, would be number two. The other one that I like is Darkroom. Darkroom is a great, very simple program, which is just, it blacks out your entire screen, and you can choose the color of your font, and you can just write. And it takes away a lot of distractions.
Scrivener has that mode in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Darkroom was what I originally discovered, but Darkroom was very cool. So, and then my other one would be Google. I love Google because I can email myself and set up a label where it'll auto-label my pieces, so if I'm out and I don't have my writing program, I can just write it down in an email, send it to myself, and if it has certain something in the subject or certain something in the body of the text, it'll label it, and so then I can go later and copy it into my document.
This is me taking notes on what she just said.
The very cool thing about the fact that Scrivener syncs to Dropbox is that you can get other programs that also will look at what's on your Dropbox. For mobile writing, I use a simple text editor called Plain Text on my phone and on my iPad. And I have Scrivener sync into Dropbox where Plain Text is looking, and Dropbox syncs it automatically between my devices. So if I'm carpooling to work, I can be in the back seat while somebody else is driving and I'm writing. And that's usually good for at least 300 to 500 words.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this says about my personality or my addiction to my job, but I have this mental space where if I'm anywhere other than in my comfy chair with my laptop, and the only reason I'm ever in my comfy chair is because I'm reading god-awful grants and I know I'm going to fall asleep and I won't hurt myself if I fall asleep in the comfy chair. But the only other reason I'm in that chair is if I'm reading books or working on something personal. And so if I'm at my desk or if I'm on my phone, I feel this need to work on my day job. And so for me, writing was in my comfy chair, curled up with a blanket because it's Illinois, it's cold, working on my laptop. And so it was like this entire headspace where if my husband comes in, he's not going to be, what are you working on? He knows it's personal. And I didn't feel guilty. And so I think for me, part of the writing challenge was finding a safe space where the guilt of the never-ending salaried day job didn't impinge on my ability to immerse myself in what I was writing.
There was one thing, or one we mentioned that I did want to do a shout-out for, which is Write or Die.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, it has darkroom type functionality as well, as far as
what?
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's a program that has different settings. The easier ones are basically if you stop writing, it will start. The screen will start flashing at you after a few seconds to let you know, hey, get back to it. There's other things it does, but kamikaze mode, which is the worst mode, if you stop writing for more than like 10 seconds, you can set it wherever you want. It'll start deleting the words that you've already written. So, wouldn't use that for NaNoWriMo, but if you are. It also has a word war functionality. So if another person that you know has the program, you can set up, let's write for 20 or for 30 minutes, and it'll track both of your, how many words you've written over that time.
Can I interrupt? Does anybody here use a voice dictation? Because I would love to get into a voice dictation. It'd be easier.
I do that. Yeah. So for me, voice dictation was a matter of survival. I got carpal tunnel so bad that I couldn't hold a can of soda. And so as a means of survival, I got Mac Dictate, which is by Nuance. It's the same thing as Dragon Dictate. And once you train it, it actually is really, really good. But it has this problem where if you accidentally leave it on and ignore it, so leave it on in sleep mode where it's sitting there waiting for you to go wake up. It's listening to everything you're saying, listening for wake up. And then when you wake it up, it's completely confused and starts like speaking Spanish at you, basically. So if you get Dragon Dictate, know that you need to completely turn it off and completely turn it off rather than put it into sleep mode, because sleep mode makes it a stoned piece of software.
Stone mode.
Another, and you mentioned like Dropbox, and or one that I use is Evernote, which gives you the ability to do, you know, write on your phone, write on tablet, directly on the website. On your PC, you know, offline.
Evernote has plugins too, right? I mean, you can plug into browsers.
Yes. Yep.
Evernote's also a great one for when you're doing your pre-work. Just if you're getting ideas out wherever, you can use it on your phone. You can record voice notes, take pictures, or just type in text and then tag it and organize it later.
But one thing about Evernote is if you go to use it, commit. Because this is a mistake I have made multiple times with Evernote, is I'll start using it, but it doesn't have enough content in it, and I'm like opening Google Docs, and you have to fully commit to this is where I'm going to store all your information, because you won't ever take advantage of how awesome it is unless you commit to changing your workflow.
So, talked about getting started. During the month, what are some tips that you would give as far as, you know, getting in your seat and actually working, you know, process for the month that helps you for, especially for those that have succeeded in meeting the 50,000 words? I want to hear from you.
I would say the big one, especially if you're if your family doesn't understand writing, and I'm not just saying your immediate family, I'm saying your extended family, you need to prep them the couple months before that this month I will be out of contact and no, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That made our lives easier. The first year we had kind of overbooked ourselves and we barely finished on time. And the second year we learned from it and we didn't book ourselves, but we also didn't let anybody know. And so we had a lot of people trying to get us to come to things, and we just didn't have the time, and we ended up feeling guilt while trying to achieve our goals. And so it ended up being one of those things where now we say, this year we are doing it, or this year we aren't doing it, and if we are doing it, you know, send me an email and maybe you'll hear from me.
Also, as part of the question, how do you handle Thanksgiving? Do you do anything? You just say, oh, I'm going to lose 2 or 3 days of that, or
well, with his spread, and I keep coming back to his spreadsheet because honestly, since he's done that, it's made NaNoWriMo so much easier for us. But we say, okay, well, we're going to not be able to write on this day, and so we can put in on the spreadsheet because it has it, you know, all the days of the month. You can put in this day I'm not going to write any, and it'll adjust all your numbers so you know, okay, leading up to it, I need to write this number in order to not have to, you know, try to get it done on the day where I know I'm not going to be able to anyway.
I recommend Canadian spouses.
For Thanksgiving.
Mail order spouses.
Because their Thanksgiving's not in November?
No, it's not. It's October 10th.
Okay.
Well, for me, it was kind of a different thing, you know, military spouse. So we don't generally have family around. It's just, you know, our little bunch of people. So it's not a generally a big deal, and I can usually get writing done.
The mandatory fund?
Yeah, usually. This is going to be a little different because my husband's deployed right now, and he's due back sometime that month. So I don't even know if NaNoWriMo's on the table for me this year. But I one of the things that, and you mentioned, you know, feeling guilty about stuff, and I think that's really the key thing about NaNoWriMo is that you have to be able to let go of a little bit of that and be just a little bit selfish. Like, take that 15 minutes and lock yourself in the bathroom. You know, that's my gift to myself, and that's part of, I think, how you can be successful with NaNoWriMo if you just allow yourself these little bits of time.
And why I failed is I didn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd say definitely find your local NaNoWriMo groups and go to write-ins at coffee shops. Sometimes they can be really bad if people want to talk rather than write, but usually that group will focus you down and guilt you into getting words on the page.
So what I did was I looked at what was my available slack time in my schedule, and thought about what I needed to be able to convert that into writing time. And that's when I started writing during my commute with my carpool. Also, in November, I do at least one road trip down to Carolinas for the Carolina Renaissance Festival. And then there's Thanksgiving. But the first year I did NaNoWriMo, we started off with a trip to Carolinas and then went down to Atlanta to pick up some furniture for my grandparents' house. So I had all those hours in the car. So I got a Bluetooth keyboard for my iPad, and I had it set up. And so my wife ended up doing all the driving, and I spent all those hours writing with iPad and keyboard.
Some of us get sick of the car.
Yeah, don't edit it while you're writing.
That's tip number one. Should be on everybody's.
Also,
you
one
know.
Of the reasons I failed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was. I did. I was in school for 2 years, and I had to miss NaNoWriMo because I couldn't juggle my schedule and my family and the writing, so I had to step away from it. So I don't know that I have any advice about how to make that work.
Talk to Nicole Gugliucci at Noisy Astronomer on Twitter. She managed to pull off NaNoWriMo while working on her dissertation.
Wow.
There may have been drugs involved.
are you sure she wasn't doing her dissertation as NaNoWriMo? Because you don't have to do fiction for NaNoWriMo. You can do nonfiction.
We need to do a Balticon disclaimer that we're not saying to do drugs to get through NaNoWriMo.
No, sorry, yes.
I would say
although
that
caffeine would be.
Even if you have a full schedule, block out time that you're definitely going to write, like a block of time in the morning or after school or before you study, where are you going to get this done, and then you work on your other stuff.
And block it out, like, on your calendar. I actually reached the point where I block out sleep on my calendar because other people will try and steal moments of your life. And if you can go, no, my software says no. It empowers it to not be your decision because the software says no.
And yet when I get up at 3:30 in the morning and hit Twitter, you're still awake.
At 9 o'clock tonight, Veronica Jaguar is doing a time management thing. She's another NaNoWriMo person, but she also, that's actually her day job, is helping college students manage their time.
Very
good. We're planning to be late. Yeah. There's irony in that.
And something that Hugh mentioned, one of the things I tried, which did help overall, was I usually write at night. I started dating someone that is a morning person, and so she, for that month, got me up at 5 a.m. on days that she could actually get me up, and I wrote then, and that helped out a lot in that. So,
did the cattle prod work well?
I hate you, Doc.
You'll love me in a month.
Any other questions about process or anything?
Turn off Twitter while writing.
Yeah. Minimize
the one of the things we've said four or five times is either with software or a lot of us, and we mentioned editing. Try not to, if you're someone who writes a chapter, this is me, write a chapter and then the next day I spend the next day editing, and then I might write part of a chapter and then I'm going to go back to chapter one and start editing again, and it's just that kills you at NaNoWriMo. So.
No more than 500 words. When you're sitting down, don't look more than 500 words back so that you can pick up the feel of what you were writing and then go on from there. If you go more than 500 words back, you're either reading or editing and you're just burning time.
Of you write surreally? Does time progress in a linear fashion?
Usually. Yeah. I jump around if I need to.
If you're a discovery writer, it kind of has to.
Well, but there's multiple threads, and sometimes I'm like, oh, this character has this happen, and then I have to get the other characters there.
I just write a note and say, this scene happens here, and then I go on to the next scene.
I can't do that.
One of the best tools I ever learned was from Merle Lafferty, and the letters TK don't appear naturally in the English language very much, and so if you hit a spot where you're having problems, you just put TK like it's its own word, and then you jump to a new page, or you just keep going. Don't let yourself get hit. And then when you actually get to the editing phase, you go for a control F search for all of TK, and you can jump to all these spots and fix them. But the first couple of times I did it, though, before I knew this trick, I would get stuck. And I would lose time trying to figure out how to get myself unstuck instead of just stopping, putting that in, and moving on with my life.
And if you are someone that has trouble with the need to go back and edit, one thing you can do is when you're done for the day, copy the last paragraph that you wrote and have that be your starting point, and even create a different file for it so that all you look at is where did I stop, what was going on, and then you can start from there.
Some people say don't finish your sentence. Like when you're ending your writing time, don't finish your sentence. That way when you come back, it jumpstarts your brain. I tried that. It's hit or miss for me.
Yeah. I make a habit of starting every chapter as a new file for NaNoWriMo. And that way I'm not tempted to go back and edit an old chapter because it's in a whole other file.
See, I tried to get myself into the habit of cliffhangering. Because it works so well for podcasts, why not do it for writing? When I sit down and do a section of writing, I always try to wrap up at a point where it's in the middle of an action. So when I sit down next, I have to finish that action. I find that helps get me started going again the next time I sit down.
Or you could just do what Joss Whedon does, and every time you get stuck, you kill off a character.
Awesome. Do that too.
If you get stuck, put in a man with a gun.
My trick is that something blows up.
But I haven't had timeline problems like you've had, because most of my stuff follows a single point of view.
So to be clear, I haven't had timeline problems in writing, but the
don't read what you previously wrote. What I run into is I'll have this character, I know exactly how their life is going to proceed. I know exactly how this character is going to float in and out of that, but I have to get this dude over here. And so I'll tell this person's story, I'll tell this person's story, and then I have to fill in the other story. So there's a lot of flipping back and bringing the characters all to one place. Mm-hmm. And so that's also how I write grants, and it's successful for grants. I'm applying it to fiction. That may not be wise.
Sounds like you have more outlining.
You said you read in Scrivener. One of the things I do with Scrivener is they have a tagging system that can color code things. What I use that for is point of view.
Oh, excellent.
So I assign each character a point of view color. And then for each segment that I write, I say, and then I put on it, the color of that card is going to be point of view of that particular character.
That's, I was just putting the character's name at the beginning, but that's way easier to find stuff.
That way when you go to the court board, you can also sort by the tags.
Okay, that's an excellent idea I hadn't thought of.
Scrivener has this awesome thing called court board. I don't know how many of you guys have it, but it gives you like these fake 3x5 cards where you can like plan your stuff out and you just drag and drop. And it actually looks like a court board, so you can arrange your novel the way you want to, and it's great for scenes and chapters.
And if you're ever forced to write textbooks, it's also absolutely amazing because you can figure out the progression of concepts way better and you can lay things out. Yeah.
See, all of these bells and whistles, I don't use any of these things. I have Scrivener and I use it for various reasons, but I need, that's why I write in the app that I write in, because there's no formatting, there's nothing, there's no bells and whistles, and that's what I need. I need distraction for, or else I start playing with all these little features. Ooh, I can arrange cards and I can color code them, and that ends up being a huge time sink for me. So, yeah, I have to not do that stuff.
You don't have to use them, but they're there.
But I feel like I'm the odd man out here. Everybody else is doing
In the red
I'm a rebel.
I use Scrivener, but I know that there are vast depths of tools in Scrivener that I don't even have a clue that they exist.
And I only use these tools for textbooks.
Nared?
I was wondering, have any of you used Camp NaNoWriMo by any chance?
No, because I write continuously at this point.
That was only a rumor.
No. I don't.
when I did Camp NaNoWriMo last month, I got to 30,000 words, probably at the last minute. But are you guys like interested in maybe going that way in order to brush up? Because that might actually help one of you who hasn't won the actual NaNoWriMo
yet. She's talking about me.
She's calling you out.
Each me out. Why are you moderating this?
That's what was great about Camp NaNoWriMo. And for people that feel that 50,000 might be too much, Camp NaNoWriMo, you can set your own word goals. So if it's 5,000 words, or if it's, I don't know, maybe you want to do 100,000 words.
So the URL is campnanowrimo.org, and it says, write a novel in a month, track your progress, get online support, which getting support is super important. Mm-hmm. And it's free.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Office of Letters and Light that does NaNoWriMo. Yeah.
And next month is June, so that's coming up.
I would love to throw
Is it July? Okay.
Yeah, they did one in April, so yeah.
I would say just, again. You know, we're talking very pro NaNoWriMo. There are people who hate it. There are people
editors
who,
and agents hate it.
Well, I was saying that, you know, the elephant in the room, which is Evo, he has this huge, massive rant about how if you've done it once, then he's done everything you're ever going to get out of it, because he says it's just there for you to prove to yourself that you can do it, and after that, you're just being lazy. So, to a certain extent, I think he's kind of right, but yeah. NaNoWriMo is the one time a year that I actually get something other than blogging done.
So, as far as that goes, for me...
The whole purpose of NaNoWriMo is that there are lessons that you need to learn if you're going to try to write full-time.
Yeah.
And I keep coming back to NaNoWriMo because in the rest of the year, I look at how I progress and I say, I haven't learned my lessons. Yeah. I still have to go back and do that.
Well, I think I've reached the point myself where I don't need NaNoWriMo anymore because I've been writing every day. I've written every day since January, I think 15th this year, except for while I've been at Balticon, because tired and lots of panels and things.
cannot brain. Yeah, not enough bathrooms.
So I think I've learned all the lessons I need from NaNoWriMo, but I like the community aspect of it. I like competing with my fellow writers, like, I can write more than you can today, and I got there first. I love that aspect of it, and it actually propels my writing count, so I write even more. Yeah. So for me, it's not a learning thing anymore. It's like a party.
That was something I wanted to go back to, talking about avoiding Twitter and stuff. Social media like Twitter and Facebook and G+, those are useful if you use them strategically. Use it to find out who your friends are that are also doing NaNoWriMo. Challenge people to writing sprints.
Word wars.
And word wars and things like that. But get people engaged. Select a time, say, at the top of the hour, go write. Send that last message. Quit that app. Bring up your writing app. Don't go back into the social media until you're done writing.
And I'm going to step back and give a completely different perspective, because I'm a professional nonfiction writer and not a professional fiction writer. And for me, NaNoWriMo is that motivation to try something new, to see, is this something I can do, to do it with a support network where when I'm writing, all social media must die. But when I'm not writing, there's people like PG poking me. And that is so useful to have this community of people that came out totally wrong. Sorry, I'm thinking in the Facebook or Skype or yeah,
and
just
likes to be
poked.
The other thing to do is if you've started your writing session and you get stuck in a situation, then maybe it is time to go to set a timer and go back into Twitter or whatever for 20 minutes and see who else is around and talk to them about your problems and see if something they come up with will spark an idea. And once you get that idea, say thanks and quit out and go back to your writing.
I use it for research, like, because I know a lot of, you know, scientists and things. And when you're writing science fiction, that can be really helpful. So I'll get to things like, I don't know if that's possible, if that would work. Does that exist? And, you know, I need a piece of information so that I can continue going with the story. Yeah. And you know, I think there was something I asked Chris Lester the other day. I learned a new term, supercavitation, which is really, really cool. Go look it up. It's really awesome.
Supercavitation.
It's where underwater vehicles can go really fast. Not necessarily vehicles, torpedoes, anything.
Yeah, crazy diving.
Yeah. Yeah, so like 100 knots an hour. It's so cool. But this is stuff that I found as I'm writing. I have to stop, so I go to Twitter, and it's a research tool for me.
And that's what she's calling it.
Well, and there's certain warm fuzzies. Like I was stupidly proud. I killed someone in the first chapter. And
did they deserve it?
Always gets an applause.
It's the getting to see other people having the same sorts of happy squeeze of how many words they created, the neat ideas they're willing to share because they're not afraid someone's going to steal them. And it's the community aspect that leads to better self-efficacy and support. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous is a community for a reason. We just have a slightly different addiction.
It's actually encouraged.
Yeah.
Kind of like the opposite.
So we're going to wrap up. Is there a question?
Paulette had her hand up.
Paulette,
I was just going to say, I'm going to channel the editors, publishers, and agents that I met. And remind everybody that if you win NaNoWriMo, you have not written an actual novel.
Right.
Edit.
50,000 words is not a novel for almost all publishers. And B, if you've been doing this correctly, you have not been editing at all.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, when you've gotten that 50,000 words together, put it aside for a couple of months and go back to it and start the real work of turning it into something that
well, that's the funny part of NaNo is after, you know, the month is over, you go to the self-publishing sites and almost 2 of 1, you know, they all have this thing going, if you're here from NaNoWriMo, go away. Go edit your book. Don't just publish it.
There are some that just completely closed to queries in December. Up through the halfway mark in January. And I think that might have something to do with that
and less than off.
You know, less with the holidays and more with NaNoWriMo.
So, as I said at the beginning, one of the things that I've done this past year in video form and then 2006 and 7 doing it in podcast, audio podcast form is doing a support podcast or Google Hangout this past year for support for people going through the process. And one of the questions you always get is, why are you doing that if you need to have every minute for writing? And the main reason that I like to do it or I do it is accountability. Because if you're working with other people, you're meeting, you know, we had enough people that, we'd meet once every 2 or 3 days during the month and record 5 or 10 minutes. Well, with me, it's more like 20, but anyway, it's supposed to be 5 to 10 minutes just talking about where we are, if we're having any problems, you know, do we have any research questions, anything, you know, that we can talk about just to get it out. And then hopefully by the next morning, get back into it. We'll be doing that again this year. If you want to see anything we did this past year, it's on YouTube. Just do a search on Living NaNoWriMo, and you'll find the videos there. And we'll be doing something again this November if you're interested in following along.
So the other thing is to remember, during NaNo, yes, you want to schedule a lot of time for writing, but you also need to schedule in fun. Because if you don't balance out the work of writing with something that you consider fun, you will burn out fast and hard. And your writing might start out being fun to you. It may not last that long through the whole month. So be ready to have other things on tap.
But listen to yourself, because I know for me, writing and riding horses are the two things that I do to turn my brain off from its work and turn it on to, like, normal human. There's no federal reporting involved in NaNoWriMo.
Riding horses and being bold.
So if the way you turn your brain off of the stress of your day-to-day life is by writing, then just fully embrace that and give yourself over to the writing.
Okay, any last questions? Okay, if everybody wants to say where they can find you and your work.
I'm Doc Coleman. You can find all my stuff at doccoleman.com, or you can grab one of my cards here for my writing site, which is swimmingcatstudios.com.
I'm Dr. Pamela Gay. My personal blog does not contain my name, because then no one could find it due to safety filters. So I am starstrider.com. That's spelled with a Y. Professionally, I'm cosmoquest.org.
I'm Allison Gamblin. You can find me at allisongamblin.com. And most of my writing is not up there because, like I said, there is no end.
I'm Starla Hutchton. You can find me in my writing, my voice stuff, and a little bit of my design stuff is at starlahutchton.com. Strictly my book covers and my design work are at designedbystarla.com.
I'm Hugh O'Donnell. You can find my writing at hughjodonnell.wordpress.com and my podcast at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com.
Cool. And I'm PG Holyfield. You can find the novel I did finish and get published at pghollyfield.com. And you can find podcasts that I do over at specficmedia.com. Thanks, everybody.